Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Circles of Prosperity with Dr. Reggie Johnson, and I'm Cynthia Johnson. We're your hosts this morning, and we, of course, are in the book study of oneness. Yes, oneness. And we are in chapter 29. We'll be picking up this morning, starting at page 279, if you have your books and you can follow along with us as we break it down. And today we're going to talk about the truth and how the truth will make you free. Or some say the truth will set you free. But the truth definitely is your freedom. Your freedom. And we're going to be talking about that today as we continue our discussion on transcending dogmas and their impact that they can have on us. Good morning, Dr. Reggie. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm wonderful this morning. I'm wonderful. It's Wednesday. This is hump day, right?
Yesterday we get over the hump.
Yeah, we get over the hump.
Thursday and Friday.
Oh, I'm going to ask you to take us into our morning prayer.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we always say thank you. We can never say that enough. We are so blessed to be living in an exciting time, a time where we can actually visibly witness our own transcendence and transformation and transmutation. We are so blessed to have a loving Father who cared enough about us to press us out of its consciousness and give us individual thinking and freedom and consciousness and movement. We are so grateful for the goddess energy of a divine mother and a divine father that we can't see, but we witness when we look in each other's eyes. We always see the energy of love and peace and poise and power as we walk on this long, wonderful road of transcendence and transformative energy, as we evolve into super beings and we evolve into the wonderful seedlings that we came to earth to be. And we thank you that we came out of the void, out of a place of nowhere to now here. And we thank you for the energy of that power where we live and move and have our ascension and our power in the Christ energy. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. I'm going to ask you this morning to just take a deep breath in. Thank you. And blow it out. And let's just get centered in our heart and in our sacred place and connect with our divinity. Just be aware of that connection this morning. I'm going to roll back one paragraph here because it resonates with me so much. The God that you long to know does not seek to control you or to punish you when you choose to express the free will with which you have been gifted. God has given you free will. When you exercise that free will, the fact that you are using your free will makes God happy. So why would he punish you? You have not been provided with the opportunity to experience your divinity in physical form simply to have you follow a particular prescribed routine. And don't we get bored with routine? I do. We want to mix it up a little bit. You have been given unlimited freedom of choice. And of course, you know, we are making choices moment by moment, or moment from moment, or moment to moment. We're making choices. You have an unlimited freedom of choice. And that choice encompasses all avenues of the expression of your innate divinity. The opportunity here in these times of blossoming your self-awareness is to recognize the unlimited potential in who and what you are, and to gift yourself with permission to express that knowingness as you choose to. You know, the Constitution, I think it's the Constitution, is it either the Constitution or the Bill of Rights, says that we have an inalienable right to the pursuit of happiness. Life, it says, life, liberty, and happiness. Why would our founding fathers include happiness? Actually, the three of them, life, liberty, and happiness. What they're saying is that God has given you this right. We have no right to control it as another man. For you to be free, for you to have life, and for you to move in your joy, happiness. The free will that is inherent in the human condition is unconditional. You are free to do anything, be anything, and believe anything in any way that it pleases you. That is your God-given birthright. And with that freedom goes the right to reap the ramifications of all actions. So if you go out there and rob a bank, and you get into a gun war, or you have the right to rob that bank, but you have the right to the ramifications of that particular action. And because you yourself built that into the system so you would be able to experience the results of your choices. And see, this is why it's so important for us not to judge. And it's also why the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We try to come up with all these laws and everything to control these people. And I understand that from the standpoint of trying to create an orderly society. But the punishment for those people is built into the actions that they take. So that they can get a lesson. It is pointless, therefore, to expect that you would follow mindlessly on a prescribed course through life and to experience the predictable consequences. Naturally, that is what you have been taught to do by a society that has learned and in turn teaches a path of constriction. Yet it is in your very nature to violate such rules. It is an integral part of your essence to know yourself as limitless and to balk at the barriers that would seek to bind you. That's why they can't keep you. They couldn't keep African Americans as slaves for so long. They were running. They wanted their freedom. They wanted to express their joy. You can't hold people in bondage like that forever. They're going to break out. And periodically, even the constraints that are on our society, people want to break out. And they do things that we have rules and laws, and they do things to break the law because they want to break out. They feel bound. So they, quote, break the law. It's in our nature. And some are more radical than others. And that's okay. Where we make our mistake is judging their choices. But it provides entertainment on some level, doesn't it? Oh, that's a little different. When that little rat's not going along with the other rats, so that's a little different. And we may even laugh at it and chuckle at it. It provides some level of entertainment. Oh, that's an interesting choice. That is why you choose to create the barriers that frustrate and infuriate you. That is the motivation for graphically depicting for yourself that which you are not, in order to know unquestionably that which you are. Remember, we talked about having contrast, that when we have a negative experience, that it provides the contrast to say, oh, clearly I do not want that. So they're saying some of this bondage that we have created here, these constrictions, these laws and regulations that we're supposed to follow in life, is so that we have contrast. We can say, you know what, that's not freedom. A lot of you, I'm not going to ask how many, but a lot of you are working at jobs and working in corporate America, and it's not fulfilling you now. And you're saying, you know what, this isn't what I want. This is too confining. It's not rendering the results I want. And so now you have a contrast to say, to walk away from that and to create what will give you the joy and the full expression of your divinity. And we're seeing that more and more in these times. You have chosen to create for yourself circumstances which would help you put into perspective your innermost beliefs on certain core issues. And, you know, this is why I try to stress to you that the answers are within you. You're so magnificent. You already know the truth from your perspective. So you have put yourself in situations where you can grow to trust your higher self, your divinity, to trust it, to test it, to see the results, and to trust it, and to move closer to being one with your divinity, and therefore in oneness. So the very fact that you are reading these words attests to the fact that your sense of spiritual identity is a focal point for you in this lifetime. The fact that you are on circles of prosperity is saying, I'm focusing on my spiritual development. And in order to arrive unquestioningly at the knowingness of your oneness with all creation, you set about to confront yourself with a given set of barriers that would contradict and oftentimes violate the essence of that inner truth. So the objective in creating such a scenario was surely not to have your divine essence crushed under the weight of collective will of consensus reality. Rather, the opportunity in having experienced such pressures is to know unquestioningly that which is not truth for you, and to have afforded yourself the opportunity to implement that knowingness out of freedom of choice. And as I was reading that, I was given a vision or a thought. And it was saying, you know how the old Christians would say, you know, baby, when you get on that spiritual path and when you start trying to understand the word of God, the devil is going to come up and you're going to be challenged. You will be tested. So now let's shift this. But what oneness is saying is basically the same thing. That once you make this decision to be on the spiritual path, and to be on the spiritual path is to find the truth that is within you, that you create scenarios, you are attracting scenarios to you that will clearly demonstrate a resistance to the old way of thinking and force you to see the truth that is within you. So you're going to have mess to come up to overcome, to move you closer to who you really are. The fear-based dogmas, which beckon to you throughout your world, depict for you example after example of all that you are not. If you go and sit in some of these churches, they will be spending a lot of time teaching you what you are not. But you need to hear the truth within you. Dr. Reggie and I, after the lesson yesterday, I said, they teach us that God gave us free will, but then they proceed to take away that our free will, our freedom of choice at every turn. Don't do this. Don't do that. You're a sinner if you do this. Don't do It's kind of interesting. So when you attempt to fit yourself into these molds, it's uncomfortable. It even becomes intolerable. Inevitably, you walk away regardless of whether that rift is expressed physically or is simply a disconnection of the heart. Some of you, to break away from that influence that is not expressing your truth within you, will have to cause a big argument or a lot of drama to give you an excuse to walk away. That's what they're saying. But some of you, just your heart just may become cold and you just walk away. We don't need the drama. You really don't need it, but you may need it to walk away, to give you the courage to walk away. It doesn't matter, because what is important as an adjunct to the experience of the rejection of that dogma with which you have been force-fed is to release fully any sense of obligation to the pressures that may come to bear upon you for your choice. You're going to have people pulling at you. Here's the big one. Oh, you know, you're into witchcraft and that's evil, and you're studying Wicca, and you're studying Wicca because you want to become more aware of your connection to the earth. That's resonating with you, and then these people will judge you. And you need to be able to release fully any harboring any feelings towards those judgments, because that's their lack of understanding. You know what's right for you. It is pointless to walk away from your religious heritage because the dogmas do not ring true, and at the same time to feel guilty about it. It is equally pointless to continue to go through the motions of adherence to such modes of belief and to harbor feelings of resentment about it. Because either way, the energetic contradiction between the action expressed and the emotion that is being repressed would set up the conditions that would nullify the potential inherent in the act of devotion. In other words, if you're not all in with that particular religion, with that particular teaching, and if you cannot bring all of your energy into it full-heartedly, it is dead works. So it's not serving you anyway. It's just dead works. In order to be truly free of the shackles of obligation perpetrated upon so many of you, it is necessary to shift your loyalties. Your obligation is not to the so-called truth that may have been handed down through generations of misguided seekers. Your obligation is to the truth that has been unearthed within the depths of your own heart, and to that alone. The Bible tells us that God says, I will know you by your heart. I will know them by what is in their heart. So you may deceive your ego in thinking that you're a good Christian and that you're following all of these teachings, but God knows you by what's in your heart. And I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. I'm just trying to shift you to where your focus needs to be. And oneness is saying, that's all that's important. What do you feel in your heart? For each of you, there is only one truth. Hold your seatbelts now. Hold on to your caps. We're getting ready to go for a ride. There is only one truth. Guess what it is? Your truth. Isn't that powerful? Doesn't that tell you how much God loves you? And you know, I'm not really making a joke. It's just it feels to me that this is the best example of who we are. I tell you that we are Land Rovers. And we have software that's been programmed, that programs us, that programs the physical body that the spirit is held within. And you're moving through this planet and your environment and your senses, your five senses, are feeding you information that your software program interprets. And it becomes your truth, your experience, how you perceive the world. And while man may say that every human being on this planet has a different fingerprint, what is really true is that every human being on this planet has a different perception of their environment based on the experiences that they have had. And while we may gather together in a group because, okay, we're all experiencing addiction, guess what? There's always something unique in each person's experience of addiction that makes their perception slightly different. And that's just an example. We can go sit in a movie theater and we all see the same movie, but because of our experiences, how our Land Rover has gathered information, we will have a slightly different take or perception of what that movie was about or the experiences the characters were going through, how it impacted them based on the information that we have collected on our journey on planet Earth. And that's why they say there is only one truth, and that is your truth. Now, when you're moving in that, what do we have to do? What is our responsibility? It is contradictory to the very concept of spiritual devotion to subscribe to a school of thought forced upon you by the might of the masses, when such concepts violate what you know to be your own inner truth. I know Dr. Renji will do readings, and I've often heard him say, especially when he's talking about the parents of the person, he'll say, oh, your dad was not a so-called religious person, but he had his own sense of spirituality. What is he saying? He had his own truth. A lot of us may know, in particular, a lot of men who don't go to church every Sunday, didn't go to church every Sunday, but were very aware of their spiritual essence. They knew right from wrong, for what was true for them. That is the challenge that has divided man from his fellow man historically since time began. And that challenge is the one that all of humanity shares, because the differences that divide you are the very concepts that ultimately you will embrace as a unified race of beings. The momentum for the transcendence of those differences is the hallmark of these times of transformation. In other words, what they're telling us is we are seeking our own truth, and we are breaking away from organized religion. And they have shown this. There's a study that was done, a survey that was done by the Times, Time magazine. And the growing number of people who were not associating themselves with a particular religion, such as Protestant or Catholic, that they just defined themselves as spiritual, was significant. People are seeking their freedom. They're seeking to express the truth within them. When you look back upon what you consider to be your history, you will note, with rare exception, that the human race has been consistent across barriers of culture in denouncing their fellow men for their differences. But it is presumed that if one is correct in one's perceptions and thus knows them to be the truth, the differing perceptions of another being therefore constitute falsehood. In other words, they're saying all throughout our history, one person will say, this is the truth. And if you disagree with that truth, then they say, well, you're not telling the truth. This is false. Your belief is false. And we judge each other. We're going the right way, and you're going to hell. And then they feel obligated to save you from going to hell. It has only begun to dawn on the collective consciousness that the countless differences in perspective amongst you are not evidence of the world of falsehood, but rather are proof of the infinite levels of divine truth personified by the presence of each of you. It lets you know how dynamic God really is, that there's all these different perspectives in expressing divinity. Each of you holds a unique vision, and the experience of the divine connectedness of each is unparalleled. You may describe your experience of awakening with the same words as another being, or you may find in hearing or reading the words of another that the sentiments expressed describe your own experience, yet language cannot begin to approximate the essence of the experience itself. And though there are many so-called authorities who have peppered the spiritual path with reassuringly recognizable signposts, the actual experience is yours and yours alone. And language can only begin to touch the feeling of the bonding with your own divinity. It's indescribable. It is indescribable. So when you speak, therefore, know that you speak for yourself alone. Your truth cannot be the truth of another being, for each of you perceives the experience of life through the lens that has been designed to deliver a vision that is custom made for your eyes only. The opportunity in encountering the contradictory perceptions of another is to regard with fascination those differences. For the differing perceptions of another do not invalidate your own. They merely add to the richness of contrast to the composite vision that is oneness. You will note the natural human tendency to gravitate toward individuals who share your general perspective on issues you would consider important. And within the context of those similarities, the subtle shades of difference are able to surface in order to permit each of you to fine-tune to yourselves nuances of the views you hold most dear. The contrast provided by the mirror of the vision of another being is the gift you bring to one another in order that each of you may experience and perceive his own vision more clearly. The contrast helps you to fine-tune your vision, your perception. There is not one amongst you who has ever encountered another being who sees the world in exactly the same way you do, and that is as it was meant to be. Thank you, God. Because your differences in the macrocosm of your world have historically inspired the wars and human atrocities that you have perpetuated upon one another. But in these times, those differences are designed to inspire your collective recognition of the potential harmony inherent in that diversity. For if all were whistling the same note, there would be no music. If all painted the canvas of their life's creation with the same favorite color, the collective would be bland and devoid of contrast and detail. So when you cease to give energy to the invalidation of the perceptions of another as a means of reinforcing your own, you create the space for the validity of all variations on a shared vision, and you lay the groundwork for a mutual experience of harmony. And this principle can be applied interpersonally and interculturally, and ultimately forms the basis upon which the differences that now alienate you from one another become the force that unites you all. Like Michael Beckwith says, ain't God something? That which we think is bad, the fact that people are different and we stand in judgment of that they're different, or they do things, they don't do things the way I want them done, and blah, 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 blah. All of that is providing contrast. Once we get rid of the judgment and embrace it, we see the beauty in everything. The key to harmonizing with the truth of another person's vision is to hold your own truth as a treasure to be prized and honored and protected. And in your recognition of the truth of your perspective on the experience of life, you hold a priceless piece of the composite vision of reality. And you resist the inclination to be dissuaded from what your experience and your sensing have shown you to be so, for pressures will inevitably come to bear upon each of you to relinquish your perspective and bend to the mindset of the collective. You're going to be challenged. They're going to want to pull you in. But when you realize, oh my God, I cannot give up this truth. I can't live this way anymore. I have to follow my truth. When you hold on and recognize how special that is, you begin to recognize how special it is for every other person to hold on to their truth. It's a precious gift. It's a precious gift. So there are beings in positions of authority in every aspect of your reality, and their task is to make you feel wrong about what you know to be right. Because the history of intimidation that has colored your world has resulted in the eradication of much that might have been of value. Were individuals free to, were these individuals free to express the truth of their vision? So hold to your vision and know that your perspective is what it is, because you are what you are. You are unique. So your perspective is unique. Your purpose in being present in physical form is to embody that uniqueness, not for the purpose of imposing it upon another being, but for the purpose of graphically depicting it to yourself. Self-awareness of your divinity, of your truth. So the approach of choice when addressing your spiritual development is not to reject your cultural conditioning simply for the purpose of substituting one vision for another. If your purpose is to impose that view upon others, your vision is sacred because it is yours alone. It is not your mission to convince others of the validity of what you know and the way that you have chosen to express that knowingness. It is your mission to develop and explore the richness of the depths of that gold mine for your own benefit and to allow others the grace to exercise the same freedom. So in the times to come, you will encounter much in the way of the so-called new thought. And it's presented in self-righteous packaging by visionaries who blaze the trail at the new levels of human awareness. It is for you who are amongst those whose eyes are truly open to know that the collective experience of which you are a part does not come with a newly stylized set of rules and regulations. Dr. Reggie is starting a spiritual center here in Atlanta, and he is so resistant to having church. He doesn't want to have the rules and the regulations. He said, you know, this is about our spiritual expression. I only want to awaken people to who they really are. I don't want all these dictates. That's dead works. I want to offer them a smorgasbord of spiritual experiences that they are free to choose, free to study teriology, free to study Wicca, free to study whatever, yoga, Pilates. There are many paths, he declares. Meditation. He doesn't want to be bound. He doesn't want to have a center that is bound with rules and regulations of how you get moved to your enlightenment. It's your personal experience. The truth that characterizes the essence of the new levels of awareness is no different than the underlying essence of all spiritual mastery. That which you seek is within yourself. And every master that has walked this planet has told you the same thing. And yet, what do? We try to worship the teacher. We worship Jesus. And he said, why are you marveling at what I do when you'll do these things and greater? I'm here just to show you the way. I will never forget, this is my perspective, okay, my experience. I'm not putting this out on anybody else. I'm just sharing. I don't know if any, but I would go sit in church, and the minister would have a decent message, but he would start saying, he would have a sentence or a paragraph, and he'd start out talking about God, and then he would use the word Lord, and then And he's talking about attributes of God, and then he says the Lord, and then he would say, and Jesus. And I would be so confused. I would be confused. I was like, okay, well, which is which? And then they give you this convoluted answer, well, it's all the same. Well, I could never make the connection, and forgive me if I'm offending anybody, but I could never make the connection between Jesus and God the way they were teaching it. And maybe that's the way it's supposed to be, but as a young person, it was very confusing for me, and I was lost at that point and said, this is googly gloop. It's not answering my question. So, the impetus, here's what they're saying, that these teachers, these masters that came to us, they simply have been volunteers who sought to share what they themselves knew to be so, for the chance that others might be inspired to make the same discoveries. And the impetus for such actions is the indescribable joy to be realized, to be enjoyed within one's own being in this process. It was surely not to be the purpose of the divine messengers throughout your history to be placed upon an altar and to be worshipped. For in doing so, humanity has affirmed the very state of separation that all of creation strives to transcend. So the moment that we put Jesus up on a pedestal and worship Jesus, they're saying, this is what oneness is saying, that they're saying that we are demonstrating the concept of being separate from God. And that's what we're trying to transcend. And that's where Jesus was. He said it over and over again. I and my Father are one. There was no separation between Jesus, the ego, Jesus, the man, and the divinity within him that is God. And people just could not get it. He came to break down those walls. They had, the Jewish people had regulations and rules and regulations, and it was dead works. And he tried to demonstrate another way of life. And they did not recognize him, that he was here to show that he was showing them their freedom. So the momentum toward recognition of your mutual oneness with each other is not a new development that has been reserved for a new age. The truth is the essence of the timeless, the very foundation of all that is. The torchbearers of these times will illuminate the path of others to do so in order to kindle the awareness of each that the true path leads within. The answers are within. And the truth of your times do not seek to be exalted in your eyes. They have chosen to show you by example the validity of a vision in which each of you is exalted in your own eyes. The truth is within you, and the truth will make you free. Dr. Reggie, can you take us into our closing prayer this morning?
Thank you, Father, for this beautiful day and this wonderful lesson. That we take these lessons in our hearts and sow them into our consciousness. That whenever we're lost or confused, we know we maintain our spiritual integrity and we're walking in faith and not by sight. Not by what we see, but by what we know to be our own truth. Thank you for individuating us to have our own truth. We thank you for these lessons daily, that they inspire us and lift us up. We go forward in love in all things that we do. We do with love and understanding. We believe it is so. By the energy signature of the Christ, so it is.
And so it is. I hope this lesson has been a blessing to you. We'll be here tomorrow morning, and we'll be moving into chapter 30. I love you as God loves you. God bless you.